This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
It's the final Football Friday of the season, and Greg Olsen's parting ways from the Panthers. I think there are two obvious locations he could land, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But here's my official prediction for Super Bowl 54, which you can listen to right here on Sunday. I'm picking the better team, not the better story. So the 49ers, they're going to beat the Chiefs. I would love to see Andy Reid get a Super Bowl. I think Pat Mahomes is one of the more likable players we've seen go through the NFL in the last 5 to 10 years. But sometimes we get too worried about narrative that we lose sight of just a couple of obvious facts. The 49ers, they have a better offense statistically. They have a better defense. Nobody is going to dispute that. I think they're a little bit more versatile, and history has taught us the better team wins, even if that better team doesn't have the better quarterback. The few exceptions we've seen feature Brady and Belichick, who overcame the odds last year against the LA Rams, did the same thing maybe against the Atlanta Falcons and the Seattle Seahawks this decade. But putting them aside, when John Elway was at a talent disparity in the 80s, his team not only lost, they got rolled. Dan Marino and the Miami Dolphins the same way. Jim Kelly multiple times with the Buffalo Bills. Everybody's talking about the Kansas City quarterback, but there are two quarterbacks in this game. Jimmy Garoppolo deserves more credit than he's getting. I was going through the numbers, and here's what I find to be crazy, and nobody is talking about this. Garoppolo, even though he only threw 8 passes in the NFC Championship win, 8 is also a magic number in another way. He is 8th in passer rating among quarterbacks this season. 69% completion, Robert. 69%.
That's pretty nice.
When you look at Kyle Shanahan's record as a head coach, this being his first head coaching stop, this is 3rd season. Garoppolo arrived in San Francisco halfway through his first year. Shanahan's record with Garoppolo has them in the Super Bowl. Without Garoppolo, 4-20. I heard that on, I think I heard Cowherd talking about that a few weeks ago. Also, they've been winning without key elements in this offense. We've seen in the last 3 years, they can't win without Garoppolo, but they won pretty well. In fact, they didn't lose a game when Emmanuel Sanders wasn't on the team for the first half of the year. Both their Pro Bowl tackles were out at one point, and they continue to win. They were without George Kittle for a stretch of this season. It hasn't mattered. Garoppolo, even though he didn't play in the Super Bowls with New England, there hasn't been a quarterback we've seen who is more prepared for success, who's had better tutelage than Garoppolo's had in his 5-plus years in the league. Just think about it. Could you picture somebody with more support than Garoppolo's had going into the league? Even more than Steve Young, who surpassed Joe Montana. Even more than Aaron Rodgers, who surpassed Brett Favre. Garoppolo learned under Brady. He was on the roster for 2 Super Bowl wins. He learned from Belichick and McDaniels. Then where does he go when he becomes the starting quarterback? Kyle Shanahan? You get to work under one of the greatest offensive minds of the last decade. It's a perfect situation for Garoppolo, and he's thrived. Lastly, San Francisco is more battle-tested, yet has been more dominant than Kansas City. The NFC, a lot stronger than the AFC. We've discussed this all year long. When you look at the opposition they've had in the playoffs, Green Bay and Minnesota are better teams than Tennessee and Houston. And not only has San Francisco beaten those teams, there was little doubt in both those games, unlike the two games Kansas City played. Down 24-0 at home to Houston. Down 10-0 at home in the championship game to Tennessee. When was the moment you felt doubt that San Francisco was going to win? There wasn't one. Look at the divisions they play in. You could argue the NFC West is the best division in football. Three teams with winning records. Seattle 11-5. The LA Rams, who were in the Super Bowl last year, 9-7. Meanwhile, in the AFC West, there wasn't a team other than the Chiefs that finished at 500 or with a winning record. So the facts are sitting right in front of you. A lot of what I just said, it isn't opinion. It's just fact. Kansas City, statistically, empirically, a better offense, a better defense. History shows us that the better team beats the better quarterback when there is a disparity there. Garoppolo's better than he's getting credit for. And San Francisco, they are more battle-tested, yet they are more dominant than Kansas City. Didn't we learn from the national championship game? I know I did. I thought Clemson was going to beat LSU because I was leaning on the coach and I was leaning on the quarterback and not looking at just how dominant the LSU Tigers were. LSU was just the better team. That's why they won. It wasn't an indictment on Clemson, just like this isn't going to be an indictment on Kansas City and Andy Reid if they lose. It's just going to be San Francisco being the better team this year. You can tweet the show at SportsHubTriant. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. Things just got awkward here in the law offices of Timothy D. Wellborn Studios very quickly because Robert Walsh, who's the producer of this show, apparently has a strange way to honor Greg Olson, which we'll get to in a second. And Aaron Gabriel doesn't root for any sports teams other than the Kansas City Chiefs. I have never seen Aaron in this studio not wearing his Chiefs jacket. So I've gotten a lot of mean looks. I think it's the reason why he's sitting in the control room with Robert rather than in the studio. Because if he was in here, I bet there would be fisticuffs. There'd be a fist fight that takes place here. Aaron, how are you feeling today? Two days out from your team playing in the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years.
I'm calm. The closer it gets, I'm getting more and more excited. I am fighting you in my head right now.
Yeah. Get the show a little restraint.
You know damn well if Andy Reid loses his Super Bowl, he will be lambasted.
He will, but not by this show. I can't control what everybody else does. There's a lot of dumb stuff out there. And there's going to be dumb takes regardless of what happens in the Super Bowl. But there's not going to be any judgment of Andy Reid, any career definement of Andy Reid as a result of what happens Sunday on this show.
And that's fair. But on a national market, you know what the narrative will be.
You're absolutely right. And that's another reason why I like San Francisco. The pressure's on Kansas City. There is no pressure on San Francisco in this spot. They are still an underdog today. And on that note, we'll get to my best bets, the final best bets of this football season in a little less than 10 minutes. I've got something to cheer you up, though. So Greg Olson, he parts ways with the Panthers. Have you heard this yet, Aaron, what we're about to play here?
I just found out that it wasn't, I assumed it was retirement when I saw him trending. And then I found out he just parted ways.
Yeah, he's parting ways with the Panthers, so he's about to play somewhere else. I'll get to the two locations I think are obvious spots for Olson. But whenever Greg hangs it up, he's going to be remembered in part as a rapper for what he did 15 years ago with the Seventh Floor Crew. That's what it was called. A bunch of Miami players. I think Brandon Merriweather was involved in this. I think John Beeson was involved in this. I don't know if they were punished as a result of this rap song, but it's incredibly vile. It's dirty. We can't play it on the radio, but Robert wants to bring it to the audience because it should be celebrated. So he made a radio edit for the Seventh Floor Crew and specifically Greg Olson's famous verse from it. Robert, hit it.
If that very nice woman only knew that she was getting muddied by the whole crew. What's your name?
G-Reg.
What you do?
Treat women with respect.
How you
drop my drawers and let her see my third leg.
There are so many people that have tried to ask Greg Olsen over the years about his third leg line, and he just won't go there. Now he's a parent, so I don't think he wants to talk about that at all. But man, that's pretty good stuff right there. Yes, Aaron.
I think I actually heard that before.
Treat women with respect?
Just that? No, not that edit. That was a nice edit, by the way. Beautiful work. Beautiful work.
Here are the two spots I could see Greg Olsen going to. I think the Patriots and the Bears make the most sense. The Patriots, they're close to a contender. If Tom Brady returns, which I think he's going to, even though he posted that very cryptic photo yesterday, some are saying, is he paying homage to Kobe walking into the football field? Is he walking away from the field, walking onto the field? Does this mean he's going to remain a Patriot? What stadium is that? It was very cryptic. But if he returns to New England and they add Greg Olsen and maybe add somebody else in the draft, that's a team I think that still has a shot to compete for a Super Bowl. It seems Olsen would be a perfect player under Belichick. Look at all the great tight ends that have thrived in that New England organization. The Chicago Bears are another team. They drafted Olsen. He's beloved over there, because Chicago got to know the type of person he is. But that's another team. Great defense. Need to adjust things offensively. Who knows? Maybe Cam Newton joins him over there, and that's a team that could maybe make a run in the NFC North. Those are two that stick out to me. A Super Bowl is the only thing left on Greg's resume that he has not attained to this point. He already has a Hall of Fame resume. He's fifth in career catches among tight ends. The only tight ends that are in front of him: Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, and Jason Witten. Those are the only four tight ends that have more catches in their career than G-Reg does. He was a Walter Payton Man of the Year finalist. In terms of playing in a Super Bowl, he did that. But winning a Super Bowl would make him a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think that's something he wants to take one last crack at. He doesn't want to be on a rebuilding team, and it seems obvious Carolina is now a rebuilding team. A new coach, Luke Kuechly retiring, and maybe Cam Newton going to be on the way out joining Greg Olsen. There's no way he's going to choose Washington. I see that thrown around. He's going to get reunited with Ron Rivera. If he's leaving Carolina, he's going to leave his home in Charlotte. He wants to play for a winner, and Ron Rivera just isn't ready to do that yet in his first year in D.C. A wild card could be the Chargers. Let's say Cam Newton goes there, which is being speculated in addition to the Bears. Do you know what else is in L.A., Robert?
Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry is in L.A. I was thinking about NFL Network and Fox headquarters. If he wants to have one foot into the TV career like he already has done while living in Charlotte, that would make sense. Kind of like Vince Carter, who wants to pursue a media career when he's finished playing in Atlanta the last couple years where Turner is based. So that's another location I'll throw out as well. I've got seven Super Bowl prop bets. Seven for the final edition of Best Bets until September. I'll share those with you next on The Drive.
Proudly broadcasting to an audience that clearly deserves something better.
Boy, you guys are not sucking me into the story at all. I'm just telling you for your own benefit.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Our betting season hangs in the balance on Super Sunday. AFC Championship and NFC Championship Sunday, we were 1-2. Which means our season record is still above 500 at 44-43-3. Man, this season has been frustrating as hell. Nobody really cares about our picks except for me. And last year we were batting 60%. People don't care when you're right. They will let you know when you're wrong on social media and via the phone line. That's been the case all year. It's been a tumultuous season. But I said all along, trust the process. We're going to end up at a good place at the very end. I have one pick for the game and seven prop bets that we're going to go into Super Sunday with. We're pushing our chips to the middle of the table. And if we're successful, then we have a winning year. If we flop, well, it's going to be our first losing season in a very long time. So let's dive in to this week's best bets, which are the last best bets until September.
Your attention, please. Please do not turn off your radio.
Why?
All right. Mike Houston, right before the season started, East Carolina head football coach, told us to put some money on ECU plus 17.5 against NC State. He said this.
Put some money on it.
We've played that cut all throughout the year for this segment, which might be part of the reason why we haven't been successful, because Houston told us to do that, and NC State blew out East Carolina that day. But we're still undeterred. As I said a short while ago, I like the 49ers to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. The 49ers, they are still a point and a half underdog. If I'm encouraging you to make a bet, you know, if it were legal, I would say take the money line. Because here's the thing. Whether it's 1.5 or 2, depending on what book you're looking at here, there's only been one Super Bowl in the first 53 years that has been decided by 1 or 2 points. And that was the Giants-Bills Super Bowl with Scott Norwood missing wide right. The Giants winning that game 20-19. San Francisco is going to win the game. I think I'm getting a better offense, the better defense. Don't be fooled by the narrative. I'm going with the better team, not the better story. So that's why I like the 49ers plus 1.5 for my first bet.
Put some money on it.
National anthem. Demi Lovato apparently has sang the anthem at several different places. One time she sang it in 2 minutes and 11 seconds. The over-under this time around is 2 minutes and 3 seconds. I think it's going to be under 2 minutes, and I'll tell you why. 8 of the last 13 national anthems have gone under 2 minutes. Demi Lovato, she's not somebody that needs the Super Bowl to push her image, to push her likeness. She was just on the Grammys last week, so I think she's just going to try and do a good job. 2 minutes is a lot longer than you think it is. Lovato's going under 203 on the national anthem.
Put some money on it.
I don't think there's going to be any points in the first 5 minutes, especially if San Francisco gets the football. If they do score, it's going to be a slow, deliberate, run-centric drive. So I like it in that regard. If Kansas City gets the ball, I don't think they've seen a defense like San Francisco, so there's going to be some adjusting early on. So my third bet is no points in the first 5 minutes of Super Bowl 54.
Put some money on
Speaking
it.
Speaking of running the ball, you get pretty much even odds San Francisco scoring a rushing touchdown in the first half. I think this is like stealing money, especially if you like San Francisco to win the game like I do. A rushing touchdown all throughout the first half? I love this bet. It's one of my favorites on the board. The 49ers will score on the ground in the first 30 minutes.
Put some money on it.
Let's go into the exotics. Zion Williamson. He plays the Houston Rockets Sunday afternoon before the Super Bowl begins. I'm taking Zion points and rebounds to exceed the number of completions for Jimmy Garoppolo. You know what the total for that is, by the way, Robert?
Just what is it?
The number of attempts for Garoppolo in this game. 29.5. After only throwing 8 passes in the championship game, it's now set at 29.5. It seems like Vegas is trying to bait you into taking the under there. I like this one a little bit more. Zion, he's been consistent. Even when he doesn't play that well, he still puts up 14-10. So it's not Garoppolo attempts, it's completions. I think Zion will get more points and rebounds than Garoppolo completes pass.
Put some money on it.
2 more, make it 3 more to go. Do you know who the official of this game is, Robert?
Hockley's son. It's the only one I know.
It's Bill Vinovich. New Orleans Saints fans do not like this man. Do you know what he's known for?
I'm guessing the debacle last year.
Not throwing flags. He is one of the least prolific flag throwers among all officials, and the 49ers and Chiefs are both top five in the NFL in penalties and discipline. So really they're bottom five in terms of how many have been enforced against them. The over-under's 12.5 penalties enforced in the game. I think it's going to go under here with Vinovich officiating and two very well coached and disciplined football teams on the field.
Put some money on it.
I love this one. Tyreek Hill over 5.5 catches. Like, it's not always down the field for him. Like, when you do some of those jet sweeps and those pop passes, they count as completions. So I love the over of 5.5 catches for that reason for Tyreek Hill. Enough said.
Put some money on it.
And lastly, the total for sacks, 4.5 in the game. I think we're going over that. I think if the 49ers are behind, Garoppolo is going to be pressured, and you have enough good pass rushers for Kansas City to kind of pin their ears back. If the Chiefs are behind, I don't think the Chiefs have seen anything like the San Francisco front. I'd be surprised if they have anything less than 3 sacks in the game. So simple math says this is going to go over 4.5. So I like that as my final prop bet for Super Bowl 54.
Put some money on it.
To recap, 49ers plus 1.5. Just the straight bet against the Kansas City Chiefs. I like Demi Lovato going under 203 for the anthem. No points in the first 5 minutes. 49ers rushing touchdown in the first half. More Zion Williamson points and rebounds. The Jimmy Garoppolo completions. Under 12.5 penalties enforced. Tyreek Hill going over 5.5 catches. And total sacks going over 4.5. This is where we win big, baby. This is where we separate and not just have a winning year, but have what looks on paper to be a pretty good season. Mike Houston, tell the people what to do. I think he just did. You know what? One more time for good measure, Robert. Hit it!
Put some money on it.
Yeah! That's what we're about here. We're going to be joined by Bill Voth, Panthers.com, in just a few minutes. He's been running around with Christian McCaffrey all week long. Greg Olson, he parts ways with the Carolina Panthers. And, man, just a stand-up guy. One of my favorites to catch up with in the locker room. Greg, I remember he told me this right after the regular season finale against the New Orleans Saints. It seemed emotional. I thought it was because he was going to step away from the game. But no, thinking in hindsight now, I think it was more about knowing this was probably going to be his last game as a Carolina Panther.
I think we really learned what this community was all about. And, you know, back in 2012, we were going through everything as a family with our son. And, you know, the journey that we've been on, you know, has really been ingrained here in this community. You know, the amount of people that have supported us, the people that have supported our foundation and supported our family. You know, I could go on and on about just how amazing that's been and, you know, how appreciative I am of the Charlotte and Carolina community in general.
Bill Voth of Panthers.com has been with CMC all week long in Miami. He will give us a Super Bowl 54 report and reflect.
The less
on
you expect of Josh Graham,
what is wrong with you?
The less you'll be disappointed. Time. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
There is a controversial Super Bowl halftime show ad and a very unlikely source that is going after the NFL that we will talk about in just a few minutes. But we're now being joined by Bill Voth of Panthers.com, who is in Miami. He's been with Christian McCaffrey all week long. There's a very interesting piece that he helped author yesterday where Marshall Faulk was saying that Christian McCaffrey is a better version of him that I strongly suggest you check out. For his other stuff, follow him on Twitter at PanthersBill. And again, watch and read his stuff at Panthers.com. Bill joins us from Miami. What's the craziest or funniest thing you've seen following McCaffrey around all week, Bill?
I'm not following him around all week like I'm Olivia. I mean, it's like TMZ, Olivia, and Bill. Yeah, no, I don't, that's not really how he's rolling deep. But, no, it's just Christian understands he should be in the spotlight right now. He likes some of it, but you can tell he's also just, he doesn't thrive under it. He's not Juju Smith-Schuster, where it's like, yeah, I think he's doing it because he knows he needs to do it, but it's still just not his favorite thing in the world.
What's the thing that he loathes about it?
Like people trying to pry into things and get actual answers if they ask him about Cam Newton or Greg Olsen or new coaching staff and stuff like that. So I just don't think he likes having to talk about football or reveal anything football-y. He's very old school like that. So some guys are okay with trying to be some sort of transparent, but trying to get Christian to talk about football and answers that could be revealing about the football team, or it's still like pulling teeth.
Did you find what Marshall Faulk to say eye-raising at all? Because usually it's, hey, my generation, it was a lot harder to play ball. These guys, they want to survive in my generation, whether you were talking about football or basketball. But with Faulk, it's very high praise he had for McCaffrey there. Did it surprise you at all?
It surprised me because right as he said it, I said, why? But I'm not sure if he was just being nice. Right. It's just Christian has a long way to go. And I think he would admit to it. He's got a long way to go before he can even really be in a legit conversation with Marshall Faulk. So to say that he's already better than him, maybe in some respects, and I get what Marshall's saying as far as out of the backfield and as far as a pass catcher. But just like, you know, I had a good conversation last night about Patrick Mahomes, and a lot of people are saying, you know, he's the greatest we've ever seen. It's like, okay, I think you can maybe say that, and maybe he's going to end up to be that, but you still just, until you get that larger body of work that hits double-digit seasons, I think you can be hopeful, and maybe there's that potential there, but that's kind of wait a few years before we really know.
You've seen both sides of the media spectrum when it comes to Greg Olsen's career, Bill. You were an independent television reporter and worked with the website covering the Carolina Panthers. Now you're given more access with the stuff that you do at Panthers.com. So you have unique insight into what makes him kind of different than the other guys you've covered. I've mentioned it a couple of times, and you've gotten to know him a lot better than I did. He is somebody who never backed away from tough questions, was always honest, always respectful, always polite. In your mind, what makes Olsen different than the other dudes? I think we maybe have lost Bill Voth. We'll try to catch him in just a bit. Just as I was talking about somebody who doesn't shy away from any question, it seems that's a weird one to lose somebody with. While we're talking about the Carolina Panthers, TMZ is doing what TMZ does. Apparently Cam Newton and Greg Olsen, they had an emotional get-together last night, had some drinks, having some fun, and it just feels like a little bit of the end of an era when you consider that Cam is the last captain remaining from that 2015 Super Bowl team. Olsen gone, Khalil gone, Luke Kuechly gone, Thomas Davis gone. Did I already mention Ryan Khalil? If I didn't, he's gone. Charles Johnson gone. Olsen gone, Cam's left. So it's just a little bit different. It's just different to imagine what the Carolina Panthers are going to be without any of these guys. Ron Rivera obviously gone too. So the page is completely turned. And I had no problem talking about Christian McCaffrey, just like Marshall Faulk did not, because he's going to be one of the foundational figures for the next decade. The same way it was Cam, Kuechly, and Rivera, it's probably going to be Tepper, McCaffrey, and fill in the blank. Matt Rhule certainly going to be involved in that. Bill's now with us. So we were just talking about Greg Olsen, and with him deciding to part ways with the Panthers and the access that you've been given to him over the years as an independent reporter and working for the website and given more access now, what makes him different?
The perspective he can give. Greg and I are similar. I think we come from a similar vein where it's like if things are going well, it's kind of like, well, hold on. And then if things are going poorly, it's like, wait a second, it's not that bad. So he kind of, I always appreciated him being able to steer the fan base back in a more reasonable way, whether things are going well or not going well. Say, for example, whether it's Will Grier. Yeah, did Will Grier look good at the end of the year? Absolutely not. But Greg will be like, what is it? We're going to judge this guy off of this disaster that's around him at the moment. It is, he was always really good at providing that perspective, I think. And I think the most impressive media moment he ever had was during the Vontaze Burfict stuff, and I believe it was 2014. And Burfict tried to hurt Greg, and that next Monday Greg talked, and it was such a perfect tone where he didn't let Burfict off the hook, but he didn't completely eviscerate him. But it was like, yeah, the guy's dirty. It just he had such a good way of saying things and really making them digestible for fans. And being able to say things without saying things at times, and always being able to be that spokesman and really be level-headed. And that's what I think made him special from a media perspective.
Before we let you go, Bill, and let you get on a plane back here to Charlotte, away from all the madness that is Super Bowl week in Miami where you're currently at, any lean on the game?
Hold on a second. I'm hanging out with Christian and Olivia for a second. Wait, what'd you say?
Do you have any lean on the Chiefs and 49ers?
This is why I don't bet games, but I would say Chiefs because they remind me right now of 17-18 Warriors, where they would come down and of course, score, and then the Cavs would go down, and then if they didn't score, there's just so much more pressure on the Cavs because the Warriors, you knew, were just going to go back and score again. And that's what the Chiefs remind me of right now. But as I think, what was it, the Seahawks of a few years ago, when the Broncos offense was firing all cylinders going into the Super Bowl, and the Seahawks defense set a tone really early on in that Super Bowl and ended up winning it. That could happen on Sunday too. So I'm leaning towards the Chiefs, but which also might mean that the 49ers will win.
Give Olivia and McCaffrey our best. Thanks for squeezing us in.
All right. Well, hey, Christian, Olivia, Josh says hi. Hey, done.
All right. Thanks, man. That's Panthers Bill on Twitter, otherwise known as Bill Voth, who, speaking of striking the right tone, I always appreciate him, even though he works at Panthers.com. He'll just give you straight answers. Straight answers.
Straight answers. I love it.
About the Panthers.
Answers about the Panthers with Bill Voth.
You know, I wish you would do that more often.
Like, what?
When I misspeak at points, just
come get you.
Come get me. It's fine. Like, 4 hours a day on the air, it just happens. Where you say answers instead of answers. Was I trying to say Panthers or was I trying to say answers? A lot of things on my mind, including this ad from PETA.
Woof.
PETA.
And meow or whatever.
Is going after the NFL because they just posted a Super Bowl commercial that apparently Fox and the NFL snubbed. And the caption of it, again, from PETA, is this. This is the Super Bowl ad the NFL apparently didn't want you to see and pressured Fox Sports to snub. It envisions a world where respect is the right and every being and pays homage to Kaepernick and movements rejecting injustice.
Did a cat write that tweet?
Hashtag end speciesism. What? That just took a massive left turn real quick.
And for you people out
like,
there,
like, I'm reading it, I'm like, oh yeah, it respects, yeah, respect the right for every being. Yeah, reject injustice. Hashtag inspecialism. Pay homage to Kaepernick? What the hell? Who is this for? The ad is even more hilarious than the source of it.
Does PETA know that the animals don't have smartphones? Like, the actual animals you're trying to protect cannot watch this.
Right. I think I should explain what the commercial includes.
Yes.
It's the national anthem playing faintly in the background, and animals all across the world. There are bears, dogs, rabbits. They are all taking a knee. Including fish
and snakes.
Snakes are taking a knee.
I didn't even know they had balls.
They don't have knees. I know they
they don't have knees.
Mama said they had knees. And,
there is a bee taking a knee. There is. It's just incredible that this ad is a thing. A big old grizzly bear. What's going on? I'm a bear.
I'm going to take a knee.
I'm going to take a knee for Kaepernick.
I wish I had me a jersey, but y'all burn them.
There's a fish in a river.
Taking a knee.
A fox. I'm watching this right now. It might be the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's just hilarious. Now, if you're blinded with rage from every mention of Kaepernick, that's fine. And I'm not somebody who's going to judge you for that. However, if you can't see the funny in PETA creating an ad with animals that don't have knees, taking a knee like bees, this might not be the show for you. It just might not. And that's fine. But it is an incredible commercial. Just incredible that this exists. Like, I don't want to disrespect PETA because the lengths that they've gone through since being formed in 1980, I believe, it has made the world a better place. And I love animals. But when they're saying that the Georgia Bulldog is being mistreated by the University of Georgia, despite the fact he flies privately, has his own hotel room, but he has to sit in a house on the sideline while it's raining, it makes the rest of it look ridiculous. Like, focus on the stuff that actually matters, PETA, not like that, or trying to get us to stop saying, kill two birds with two stones. Replace that with, feed two birds with two scones. Who will ever say that? The answer, nobody. Nobody's ever going to say that. So, PETA, just taking an L on this one. Like, Fox and the NFL, I think they're actually making a right call here. Just like, who is this for? Why does this exist? This is going to drum up and get people upset for no reason whatsoever. Like, who is this for, Robert?
That's what I'm asking. Who can, like, are the dogs going to see this on Super Bowl Sunday, hypothetically, before they ousted it and all these dogs in solidarity take a knee?
Just incredible. Like, I get called a left-wing liberal all the time because I say, hey, maybe Kaepernick shouldn't be blackballed forever while Eric Reed's allowed to play. But, man, if I get it on the other side, I'm fine with that, too. Just completely fine. You don't know who I voted for because it's none of your business. It doesn't really matter.
We're back on the air.
It's The Drive.
You suck. And yet you keep returning.
Sports talk.
It's offensive and people can get hurt.
The Drive with Josh Graham.
It rang.
On Sports Hub Triad.
We'll get a report from Super Bowl 54 in Miami from Bill Voth of Panthers.com in just a little bit. McCaffrey is up for Offensive Player of the Year, and Bill's with him, been with him all week long, so we'll get to that a little bit later on. Darren Vaught will join us in just a bit as well in studio. But we're now being joined with a big weekend coming up in the ACC by one of the premier voices of ACC basketball that we've gotten to know for many, many years. It is Dan Bonner, kind enough to spend some time on here with us in the Triad. Dan, when I take a look at this weekend, I'm going to be at Louisville, NC State tomorrow. Duke's in action against Syracuse. I thought at the beginning of the year Louisville might be the signature team. Duke's had a lot of great moments as well. Florida State has all that depth. Now that the sample size is large, out of those three at the very top of the league, who do you think shapes the best to make a run in March?
That's a really good question. Florida State is obviously a team that's built the way they are, the way they play defense. They would be a very difficult matchup for anybody in the NCAA tournament, particularly if it's a second-round game where you only have one day to prepare for them. So, again, their offense sometimes is a little bit shaky, but I think Florida State would be a really tough matchup. Louisville, they have an All-American in Jordan Wara, and they've got a lot of other guys who could score, so that makes them tough. And I think once Duke gets all the players back, once Wendell Moore is back and they get a chance to put everything together, they may have the most room for growth, and ultimately they may have the best chance to make a run in the NCAA tournament. But I think Any one of those three teams is the teams, all three of them can go deep into the NCAA tournament.
Wes Durham was in with us just a few days ago, and we were talking about the return of the ACC tournament to Greensboro for the first time in 5 years. It's coming up in a little over a month. As someone who's been a part of the league as long as you have, what's something that makes Greensboro, the ACC tournament there, different than the other sites? Because bringing up Wes, he says it's just a different feel in the building when the tournament's in that place.
And I think Wes is right. From my perspective, when I was on the team at Virginia back in the early 70s, that's where we always had the tournament. I never experienced the tournament as a player in any place else other than Greensboro. And so Greensboro is the place that I always associate with the ACC tournament. No offense to any other places they have it, but it just seems to me that the town of Greensboro just gets more involved in it than the other places. And the other places, particularly when we're going to the big cities, Atlanta or in the north, D.C., New York, any of those places, it's just one more event in the number of events that come through. But in Greensboro, it's different. In Greensboro, the people really seem to like it to a point where they embrace it. And again, that probably is just from my perspective as having only played in a tournament in Greensboro.
Dan Bonner with us here as we take a look at North Carolina tomorrow. The Tar Heels will be home against Boston College. And we literally just got this in from Roy Williams a short while ago. These are quotes from him on Cole Anthony's status. He said, yesterday we allowed him to go 5-on-5, and he probably went 25% to 35% at practice. I didn't time anything. When he was asked if he was going to play, he said, probably. It's just going to hinge on how he's feeling in the morning. If he tells me he's feeling good, he's going to play against Boston College. Now, as a former player, I'm sure if you were ever asked, hey, do you want to play again? Do you want to play tonight? You're probably going to answer yes. But when he does get back on the floor, Dan, what do you think is still going to be North Carolina's biggest issue? Because we got to acknowledge it on the front end. Cole Anthony coming back isn't going to fix everything, is it?
I don't think so. You know, North Carolina wasn't undefeated and going scorching the earth with Cole Anthony. So I think that they still have the same issues that they had before, although they're working them out. You know, Garrison Brooks has become a more than serviceable ACC player after spending his career as a role player. Brandon Robinson, this is a young man who, coming into this year, had played 101 games at North Carolina and averaged 2.2 points a game. But obviously, he's shown that he has developed, that he can make plays. So North Carolina has found some answers, and now they got to blend Cole Anthony into the mix. I don't think that they're going to scorch the earth with Cole Anthony now any more than they did before. But I think that it's North Carolina has righted the ship a little bit. Whether they've done it enough to earn their way into the NCAA tournament, I think that's highly unlikely just because of the hole they've dug themselves.
Any thoughts on what's been one of the sadder basketball stories we've seen in the last week? I was at Virginia Wake Forest Sunday when the news broke that Kobe Bryant passed. As someone who's lived pretty much a life of basketball, Dan Bonner, what was your thought now that we've had time to process the news?
Well, you know, obviously when somebody that young, particularly somebody in your world, the basketball world, dies suddenly and unexpectedly, then it's a very tragic thing. You feel for the family, you feel for the people who are the close friends. But the thing that strikes me about the whole thing, if you go through any of these media guides for any of the college teams, and not just in the ACC but everywhere, almost all of them have a little section about the players, and they say, well, who's your favorite player? And my guess is that 90% of the answers to that question are Kobe Bryant. That Kobe Bryant is the person for most of the kids playing college basketball today, the 18 to 35 generation, I guess. Of course, you're not playing college basketball at 35, but that group in there, Kobe Bryant was the guy who was the best player, the guy who was the lightning rod, the guy who people paid attention to when they were growing up. And so it's obviously a shock for people who followed him that closely. It's like the people who followed music who were of a certain age when John Lennon died. It's, you know, people who are outside that realm, they really don't feel it as much as people who are in that world. But it's a very tragic and sad thing. And as I say, I just I feel for his family.
Dan, appreciate you squeezing in time for the Triad today. I've enjoyed your work so long at Raycom, and many around here feel the same exact way. So glad you're a part of the ACC network as well, and we hope to catch up sometime soon. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Josh.
You got it. That's Dan Bonner from the ACC network joining us. One of the signature voices of the league, Christian McCaffrey. He was on First Take earlier today, and man, things got awkward very fast. I think Stephen A. Smith has been off of the show at times because of what's happening with Kobe Bryant, and this has been a tough week for so many in the media. So it was Booger McFarland debating with Max Kellerman about running backs, the best in the league, while Christian McCaffrey was sitting there. Here's how that sounded.
I want to pound the rock. I don't need my running back to catch the ball.
Hold on. Timeout.
I
want to. Why not pound the rock?
I don't
run the ball.
You can run it. I just prefer 21.
Boog, Zeke might be a top five back. Maybe.
What?
Hold on. What about all the off the field drama? You don't have that with
McCaffrey. Saquon's the most talented. Saquon's way more talented than Zeke. Stop.
Oh, my word. Lord have mercy.
So I just had the best year, but I'm not the most talented.
It's a good question for McCaffrey. So I've had the best year and I'm not the most talented. Yikes. It's been a rough year for Boog. What are the odds that Booger McFarland is the color analyst for Monday Night Football for next season? Yes, Aaron.
10%.
Robert, would you go higher?
Not at all. He has been atrocious.
That's a gracious 10%.
Booger should go for it on fourth down and go home.
He was better than Witten was.
Which isn't saying, exactly.
Not saying a lot. Man, the only thing worse than maybe the Monday Night Football booth this year might be the Monday Night Football booth last year, but both of those things probably exceed what First Take does every single day. Man, that show. Like, that is the antithesis of what I want sports media to be. Yelling about what running back is better while one of those running backs in the conversation is sitting right there. Just incredibly awkward. But, I mean, I'd take any of them, but I'd probably go McCaffrey just because he could catch the ball. Oh, I want my running back to pound it in the ground. And McCaffrey's like, wait a minute. I didn't just rush for 1,000 yards this year? What are we doing? So, that was pretty awkward to say the least. We'll catch up with Darren Vaught in a bit. As I mentioned, Bill Voth on today's show. Brendan Marks is going to join us from the Athletic Carolinas as well. If you miss any of the show, the best of podcasts is on SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. Just search The Drive with Josh Graham, which is broadcast live in the law offices of Timothy D. Wellborn Studios. Learn about all the ways Tim Wellborn can help you online at timwellborn.com. You'll know when you need us. Staying on the ACC basketball front, there was more clarification on Coach K's outburst this week with the Cameron Crazies, but less apologizing. That's where we're going to begin, Sharon, with Darren, next.
He really appreciates you listening and thanks you from the bottom of his twisted little heart.
Congratulations, you've won over a complete imbecile.
The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
I'm putting my title on the line as it is time for the movie game. Sharon with Darren Vaught. I know it is our final Football Friday of the season with Super Bowl 54 on the horizon, but we like to have a little bit of fun once a week. Usually there's a theme to these movies that are given out. It's the Rotten Tomatoes movie game. Darren, you used to be really good at this, but now the shoe's on the other foot, friend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's partially the luck of the draw, a little bit, right? Depends on the movies, depends on the day, my mood. I can be really good at this.
Aaron Gabriel really struggled the first time he played this game. Are you ready for a bounce back effort?
I think I'm feeling good, feeling confident. I stretched before I came in.
It's the only way to be. Only way to be, Aaron.
Oh,
boy.
He put down his Lifesaver gummies, and now he's here in studio.
Underrated candy. By the way,
severely underrated.
But he didn't walk in. Like, we're sitting here, Darren, and he's not sharing any of those. This is Sharon with Darren, and Aaron
has these Where
gummies,
and
he's not giving us any. What are you doing?
I guess I'm not sharing.
Also, this is the first Super Bowl featuring two red teams ever in the history of the Super Bowl, and we're all wearing red in the studio today. Like, Aaron has his Kansas City Chiefs stuff on. I got my Carolina Hurricane stuff, and Darren, I don't even know what that logo is.
I don't know.
Looks like a
Texas. Is it the Texas Pete guy?
Yeah,
Texas
Pete brand.
How do you have a Texas Pete hat? Shouts to the 336. That's what we're doing.
It's not
here.
Even See, from that's Texas. What I'm doing here.
Let's go. You know where Texas Pete's from, right, Robert?
Why don't they call it Carolina Pete?
Do you know, Robert? Yeah.
It's, okay, I mean, I know it's North Carolina. Do you want to play the movie game or not?
Is there already a Carolina Pete? Is that why they didn't?
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
It's time for some kind of movie game.
All right.
With Josh Graham and Darren Vaught.
Show me the money.
Don't ever condescend Robert, or else you're going to get interrupted real quick.
What's going on, guys? Ladies and germs, appreciate you playing the movie game today, and with a special music behind us. God, I hate this stuff so much. I got to get another song for this.
I love it.
I know you love it, but I am just not a fan at all. Anyway, Super Bowl's in Miami, so I have picked all movies that take place in Miami. The rules are, as stated, you're both veterans, as is Aaron, despite his bad play before. I couldn't prove Josh cheated last week, but I did find my notepad in his office that I left there. So that is that. We will leave that neither here nor there.
But I didn't cheat today. There's no way I've cheated.
There's no way he's cheated unless he came in and saw what one of the movies was and then looked it up. But I digress.
I would never do that.
He would
but
never
I didn't
do that.
Cheat today.
I've never cheated
but
before.
But I didn't cheat today! Did everyone hear that? Sound the cheater alarm. Kids, get him. Probably can't hear the kids because of this stupid music. Anyway, like I said, Rotten Tomato scores based on the audience score. We're going to go in this order, Josh, Darren, Aaron, just because I said so, and I'm the one in charge. If you guys want to host it, we can switch it up sometimes. Starting off, our first movie. Got a little clip for you, per use, with what we're listening to. And
Robert, you're on edge so much right now.
You're going so fast.
I'm trying to get this all out. And
all right, these are Rotten Tomato scores.
We were going to catch up with Bill Vogt last hour. Instead, we filled in Dan Bonner into that spot, and Robert has just been really mad ever since then. Like, just upset. Like, at Dan, at me, at everybody. He's mad.
I want to be at the weekend. All right. Okay. So I'm bringing the music down so you guys can listen to the clue for our first movie.
Might we have listeners currently, Robert?
That I don't
never
know. I don't
heard the movie game before.
Maybe. Okay.
What are the
I was
rules?
Expecting it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are trying to guess the audience score for Rotten Tomatoes.
That's what I'm talking about.
If you guys are the farther away you are, the bigger your point total is. And it's like golf. You want to keep them nice and low.
That
low to the flow.
That a boy.
All right. Here's our first movie clip.
Down here, he says he's out here recording his album.
I am recording my album. See, I have a violin.
Mm-hmm. That's a ukulele, Terry.
Your mom's a ukulele, Terry.
What movie is that?
Reno 911, oh, Miami.
I was going to say, that's is it Swartzen? Is that his
yes,
that is
Nick yes. Swartzen.
Yes. And we're going to start off with Josh. Or once you guys all get your answers in.
I've never seen this movie.
Likewise.
How is this the first Miami movie that comes to mind for you?
Because when I told you what the thing was, you said, oh, pick Scarface. And I was like, well, not doing Scarface. So
yeah,
here we are.
I get it.
Come on. All right.
Is everybody ready?
I'm ready.
Ready.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to start off with Josh. Josh, what you got?
27%.
20?
Has to be awful.
27. Darren, what you got?
I agree that it has to be awful, but to my knowledge, like Reno 911 hit a really strong stretch where it was widely accepted as being really, really funny. So I'm dead middle 50%.
It was widely accepted by everyone besides my mom. If she ever came in and I was watching Reno 911, cutting off. Aaron,
yes, my
got?
Mother Lisa Faye would have said, that's raunchy.
I'm hanging around there with Darren. I don't think it was that good, but I saw some Reno 911, thought it was pretty funny. So I'm going
55%. 55%? Reno 911 Miami comes in at 51.
Oh, come on.
Darren.
Bleep off.
In the lead. Pretty close.
That's just terrible.
Just terrible.
Says second the, movie.
Second movie. A Johnny Depp movie that gets into a little racy subjects. Take a listen.
What'd I tell you, Derek?
It's great, but what am I supposed to do with all this? Sell it.
Blow is your second movie.
Oh yeah.
What a classic.
Blow.
Great one.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling I would rate it maybe a little higher than the public is going. I'm giving away my thinking.
Let's find that out. Once everybody gets their
everybody
stuff
got down. Score written down. I'm looking at you, Darren.
Great movie. One of my favorite movie posters of all time, with the shiny all around the white letters of Blow.
Yeah.
Great movie poster.
I'm going very high on this. I'm going 91.
91. Darren, what you got?
I have 82.
82? And Aaron?
I have 90%.
90%.
Show me that piece of paper.
90.
Yeah, that's what it says.
You're a cheater.
Blow comes in at 87%.
I can't get any ground if you guys are just so close.
And it looks like we're going to have our first golden movie with me as the host of this. Score update, Josh is in third with 28. Aaron is in second with 7, but not far behind Darren, who is in first with 6 points.
You guys are crushing it right now.
Speaking of Johnny Depp, recently saw The Professor. Highly recommend. Not like totally cohesive in the end, but enjoyable.
It's a good movie. What's the third movie we have?
Third movie is a classic. Give it a listen.
Okay, kid, listen. I'm coming in, okay?
No, don't.
Exactly what the hell is the situation? What did you
poop?
Hit yourself or something?
Oh, I wish.
I got it stuck. You got what stuck?
It.
Oh! It, listen, it's not the end of the world.
Something about Mary.
Yeah.
Is it the Franks or the Beans, son?
What the hell is Brett Favre doing here? I'm here to play the Dolphins, you dumb
bleep.
Yeah,
I'll bleep it for you. Guys, get your answers in. I never saw this movie as a child, but I always knew the movie poster with Cameron Diaz's hair sticking up. Great flick. Can't really dive too much deeper than that, but great flick.
Yeah.
Is that hair gel?
Is that? Oh, great. I needed some of that. Thanks.
I'm going to go with 74%.
74%? Darren.
Man, we're all in the same neighborhood here. I had 78.
78?
It's not helping me at all.
My man, Aaron.
I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I think a lot of people like that movie. I'm going 93%.
93? Oh. Well, guys, we will not be going to a golden movie.
Oh, my gosh. You messed it up, Aaron.
Josh in third place with 41. Aaron in second place with 39. Darren, that means you come in first with 23 points. Go ahead and give them.
What was the score of the movie?
61.
Oh, I was closest. Huh? All right, Darren.
I think you know what this means, Darren.
Your moment of zen.
Take it off.
Yeah, I actually hadn't planned for this, but I'll take it. I will take it.
You sound like an Oscars award winner who doesn't know what to say once they win.
I wasn't prepared for
this.
No,
but see, that's, well.
Don't jump in on his moment as
no, end. I guess we'll that is a good
over.
Parallel.
We will start it over.
No, that's a good parallel because I could have anticipated that I was going to win today and maybe had something prepared, but I didn't. So I'm going to plug my podcast for USA Baseball and tell everybody to go listen and subscribe. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, otherwise known as iTunes, Google Play, YouTube. Covering the bases with Darren Vaught, Andrew Vaughn, Winston-Salem Dash star from over the summer, and top prospect for the Chicago White Sox was on the episode that we dropped just yesterday. I recorded with another potential high MLB draft pick today, just earlier. So,
okay.
Well played, Darren Vaught.
Yeah, right? I mean, when in doubt, just be Pluggy McPluggerson.
I mean, and congrats to Aaron. I think really what we should all do right now is just shun Josh for coming in third and being so braggadocious about
Loser.
The last 2 weeks.
There you go. Big word, Bob. Braggadocious.
Boo this man!
Up next, three players, Greg Olsen's decision and the Panthers' decision to part ways will primarily affect. This is The Drive.